Thanks for making Ant Are Up part of your day. Appreciate you downloading and listening, not just today, but all season long. If you haven't heard previous episodes, hey, head back into the archive and check out conversations with Gavin Cobb and Trey Ford over the last couple of weeks. We've also talked this season with Jake Serezna, Kevin Brown, and Dean Faithful, among others. Have a listen wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a follow, throw us a like, maybe a star or two as well. You can also comment on what you'd like to hear in future episodes of Antler Up. Saturday's game from Winnipeg, the last one of the regular season, will be on TSN. You can also hear it on Kissin' Country 103.9 FM and along the Elks radio network. 5 o'clock is kickoff time for the Elks and the Blue Bombers from Winnipeg. Today, we'll talk with one of the longest-serving members of the team.
Cornelius, he'll throw. That is open and into the end zone. Antler up, Edmonton. Green is gold as Tanner Green takes it into the end zone for the touchdown.
Antler up, episode 38, Tanner Green. Let's go.
Touchdown, Antler up, Edmonton. Touchdown, Elks. Tanner Cornelius takes it himself as he got an open lane to the end zone. Antler up, Edmonton. Touchdown, Elks.
Tanner, I was doing some research getting ready to talk to you today, and I read that you stopped playing football after high school.
Yeah, I did, actually. I finished my last high school season, and, you know, I think every kid hits that point where they're like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? And I didn't exactly, coming from a small town in Lacombe, I didn't have a lot of prospects, so I decided, hey, I'm just going to try and find work, and football just wasn't there anymore. So I was playing lacrosse though at the time.
Yeah. Okay. So you're obviously been a professional football player for 5 years now. So what brought you back?
Weirdly funny story. So I'm, you know, I kind of did things a little backwards, right? So I found the girl of my dreams. We got married. We bought a house. Was working full time, and I had a buddy in high school who he was playing out at for St. FX. And he came back and he was gonna play some men's league football, and he was like, man, you got to come back out and play. Like, let's just go have some fun. And I was like, okay, why not? And honestly, for the men's team, I didn't even think I was gonna get to play because, you know, I hadn't played football in years. I thought I was gonna suck, but one thing led to another, and now we're here.
Was that the Central Alberta Bucks?
Yeah, the Central Alberta Buccaneers.
So that's just men's league football.
Yep.
Just like beer league hockey, basically.
Yeah, it's a nice, fun mix of like ex-U-Sport players who are still trying to get film, and then some full-time dads most of the time that are just trying to have fun and play football.
So tackle too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How tough was it to play? Is it a good league?
I mean, it depends.
I imagine you have a mix
It depends.
Guys,
it's a mix. It's yeah. A mix. Like, there'll be teams that really recruit hard and try and get a lot of those ex-U-Sport players that it can actually be decently competitive, but then, you know, there'll be teams that it's just a lot of, you know, older guys that are just looking to play and have fun. So yeah, you kind of, I think the top two or three teams, it feels pretty competitive, but then the rest not so much.
So it's kind of like, I would compare more than to senior hockey and guys looking for the Allen Cup, that route. So
yeah.
is there a league and a championship or that, yeah, from across Canada, does it?
Yeah. So the Ontario League, yeah, once we get to the end and figure out who's first in both, they'll, I think last year they flew out east, so they'll go play there or play here, and they have like a big crossover championship game that's usually pretty competitive. I've seen a few guys get looks at a few CFL camps out of those games.
Yeah. Oh, I'm guessing a lot of people don't know that league exists now. No. Because I've never heard of it until, yeah, I started doing some work getting ready for today. So people go to games. Where do you play? Where are all the games played? What cities? What towns?
Yeah, for us, it'll be like we've always played in Lacombe. They got a nice new facility, new field. But I think since I've been playing there, they switched back and now they play in Red Deer. But you got teams in Airdrie, Calgary, Edmonton, like a few assortment.
Oh, there. I'll check that out a little bit. You mentioned you did it backwards. You get the girl of your dreams married. You got a house. You got a kid now too, right?
Yeah, we do.
What's that like? That born just a few months ago, right?
Yeah. Just September 26th.
Yeah.
All right. So it's been amazing. Yeah, he's almost hitting the 2 month mark, and I'm just amazed at how quickly he grows. His name's Elias. But as far as I know from babies, we definitely got a good one. He's very well behaved. He only kind of like, you know, gets a little fuzzy when he wants some food, but he's growing like crazy. He's doubled his weight already. So,
cool. What's the best thing about being a dad for you?
Honestly, it's so far it's just been watching him grow. Like, he went from, you know, this little wet noodle, not much expression, to now he's, you know, he recognizes your voice and starts smiling, and you know, you throw him in the tub or something, and he, you know, you can tell he's feeling it out and enjoying it. So just, I think just watching him grow and seeing what personality comes out, and it's just exciting.
Nice, that's cool. You still, where do you live? Do you live in Lacombe still or Red Deer?
Yeah, so we have a house in Lacombe, but while I'm in season, I have a little apartment here. I've been rooming with Scott Hutter for, the last 4 years now.
So. Well, you guys could tell some stories about this franchise, right? Longest two serving guys.
Yeah, we've been through it all. We've been through it all, and I think both of us, we're just working as hard as we can just to get us back to where we know this organization can be.
Yeah. So the family's
in the family stays in Lacombe, and whether it's, you know, her traveling up here to stay a night here or there, or me going back, especially with the newborn, my wife's being a champ and taking a lot of the tough duty of a lot of the nighttime tough difficulty, just so it doesn't quite affect, you know, any on field performance, but. Yeah, so this off seasons we will stay and live in Lacombe, but I'm hoping to, this is my contract year, and if they want to bring me back, I think we'll be coming up here full time for the next few years, which will be really cool.
So you're away a couple nights a week then, right? So you don't get to see them, which must be tough at this age, right?
Yeah, I know. Thank goodness for FaceTime, right? Like, I picture back years ago when that wasn't a thing and how difficult. Now I at least get to, you know, see them and talk to them. But I try and make it home as often as I can every time we have off days or you know, tonight I might run back type deal. But, yeah, it's not easy, but we've done it now for, you know, since I got here in Edmonton. So we got a nice little situation figured out.
Yeah. You mentioned you're living with Scott Hutter, and we talked about you guys are the longest serving guys. You know, when the home losing streak ended, we're in the booth upstairs, and okay, we got to talk to either Tanner or Scott because they're the only guys who are here, and they're the only guys who have suffered through everything. You guys and the fans are the only people who have suffered, and me and Dave, guys who've suffered through all the losses. Tell me about that night and winning. And I remember having you on, and you were pretty excited that night, and it was a pretty big night for this franchise, really.
Yeah, I know. I remember talking to you and being barely able to form a sentence because my heart just felt like it was beating out of my chest, and I still, like, I'm getting goosebumps right now. It had just been so long without that feeling, and you know, we're getting into, you know, the fourth quarter, and we're getting closer and inching, and you know, defense is out there, and everyone's lifting their arms and raising to the crowd, and the crowd's getting louder, and the goose, like, just the electric feeling is something that is just so impossible to describe, but it's better than the first game I walked out, you know, ever, which was, you know, my best feeling in football, and just seeing, you know, the zeros hit the board and we're up and we got that win and the crowd is screaming, and yeah, it's a memory I'll never forget.
The reaction with the players, the reaction with the crowd, it kind of must give you some great foreshadowing for when this franchise gets back to where you want it to be and where it was in years past, how exciting it's going to be around this team and to be in the stadium for games.
Yeah, no, I do remember, you know, back in 18-19 when, you know, we'd almost have 35,000 to 40,000 at every home game. I'm excited for when that becomes a regular thing again, because, you know, I talked to other guys in the league and they hated coming to play here. Like, they absolutely hated how loud the crowd was, you know, like the environment was difficult coming in here. And once we get these wins rolling together and start getting everyone back in here, it's going to be back to where we need it.
I haven't asked any players about this yet, but you obviously know they made the announcement last week they're going to close the upper deck next season. I think, and I feel bad for the fans and the season seat holders who've been up in the top deck forever and enjoy sitting up there, that they're going to have to move down now. But I think it's going to create a much better atmosphere. Do you guys notice? Obviously, you notice the fans, but I mean, do you think you'll notice it when it gets better like that?
Yeah, no, I think we will. I think right now with how much seating there is and how spread out it can be, I think a lot of the upper deck people, it can be hard to hear you know, them yelling and screaming. If we get everyone down in the lower bowl, I definitely think it's going to be make for a louder environment.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, so you stop playing football after high school, then you start playing some men's league football.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to Concordia?
Yeah, so I actually had a few ex-U Sport players on the team that, again, were trying to still get some film and still make it, and they had made some suggestions of like, hey, man, like, you can go play. Like, you might be able to make CFL if you put in the work and try hard enough. And I'm sitting there like, I didn't even think I was going to play for the men's league team. Yeah. So
where are you working at the time? What are you doing for a living?
Oh, I was out in the oil field. I was doing some integrity. We were just repairing some pipelines.
Yeah.
I was gone for, 20 days. Like, just the hard stuff.
You were working a hard life.
Yeah. But it was good. It was what we needed at the time. Coming back, they wanted me to send my film out. And I was like, well, I don't know if it's going to do anything, and even talking with, my wife, she's been great. Like, she believed in me the whole time when I definitely didn't. I didn't think I'd have a shot to go on. And I think, I was like, okay, well, let's just send the film out, see what happens. Right. So we got some people talking back through, I think it was McMaster, Carleton, St. FX, and Concordia. And we were thinking, well, I have an aunt and uncle out in Montreal, and Montreal is an amazing city, and it's arguably the best conference for football. I get to play against and get film against both Laval and University of Montreal, which are great teams. And the crazy part is I only had two seasons to play, right? So I had two seasons to get in there, figure it out, and get some film. But the second season, I actually tore my hamstring. So we only got here off one season, which is kind of nuts.
And obviously you made enough of a mark. First, let's go back. Mm-hmm. So did you put your own film together, your own highlights together from the men's league?
Yeah, I built it. I built a little video on Huddle, which was a fun little program that actually it made it pretty easy to kind of throw something together nice and easy. So built it on Huddle and then sent it out from there. And then shared it on Facebook, friends, family, everyone shared it around. And then I finally started getting some phone calls.
Yeah. And at what point did you think, maybe I can do this?
It was honestly, so we picked up everything. We got a renter in our house and we decided, okay, Concordia wanted me to come out for the winter camp and do just like a tryout. Like they were like, we're not promising anything. We don't know how good your league is. But if you come out here and you do good enough, you'll be on the team. We'll give you a scholarship. Like life will be good. And I was like, oh man, like picking up everything to drive across the country on like a, you might do it. But at the same time, it was like, you're only this young and you can only play football for so long. So if we're going to take a shot on it, the time is now. So we picked up everything, drove over there. And as soon as I got into those training camp practices type deal, I knew I could hang with those types of players, which again, kind of made me believe a little bit more that, okay, I might belong here.
Yeah. Were you a green and gold fan growing up?
Oh yeah. My family, my grandparents, right from the beginning. I remember being a little kid, we'd watch Montreal for hockey and green and gold for football.
So tell me about the draft day then when the phone rang, and did you know who it was when they called you?
Yeah, no, well, it's funny story. So my wife's uncle here in Edmonton has an Edmonton number and I don't have him. And we're all sitting there at, it was like a little pub in Red Deer, and we're watching on the big screen, watching the draft happen. And I'm seeing the picks go by, and I'm looking at my phone, talking to people, looking at my phone. And all of a sudden, an unknown Edmonton number is calling. And I'm like, everyone's like, quiet. And I pick it up, and it's my Uncle Herb. Almost threw the phone. I was like, oh, my goodness. But then literally, like, right after, it was Jason Moss, right? And he's amazing guy. He was very excited. I was very excited. I barely put sentences together talking back to him. But he's like, you're going to be an Eskimo. And I was like, that's all I could ever want.
That's great. So the team you grew up cheering for drafts you. And then the next couple of weeks later, you're at training camp. What do you remember about your first training camp?
It was crazy. Like, I gotta think, like,
it's coming not the on men's league anymore, eh?
Coming off men's league, where I think we only had maybe like 12 to 15 plays, and then going to, even Concordia, like, 1 year of trying to learn a bit more complex playbook and then getting thrown into, because you got to think, we had Mike Riley, we had a team that was Grey Cup contenders, and they were hitting the ground running. So I remember, like, even now, guys are lucky they get rookie camps. We came in, the vets actually got a camp. They were down in Vegas, they got a vet camp, and then the rookies just came in and got thrown to the fire. And that's exactly what they said. We're going to throw you in the ocean, and if you can swim, you'll be here. But if you can't, you're out.
and as the old saying goes, you know, if something bad happens to somebody, something good happens to somebody else, mm-hmm. that camp in Vegas, James Tuck pulls his Achilles.
Yeah.
So he's not playing. So now all of a sudden you got a fullback spot that's maybe opening up, right?
Yeah, which I think we had – it was crazy how many – I think we always had – including me, I think we had five fullbacks on the roster with Dupuy and Pascal and Normand and Cal, all those. Yeah. And then we would have had Tuck and we would have had me, which is – that's a lot of fullbacks.
Yeah, wouldn't have given me much time to prove yourself, right?
But no, and I think, like, I probably wouldn't have stuck if it was based just off the fullback position, because – Learning that playbook was one of the hardest things I've had to do academically, like in my entire life. Everything's just so fast, and there's so much to know. But I remember those preseason games, special teams, right? Special teams is I knew I could immediately make a mark on this team, and that's definitely what kept me around.
And that's your bread and butter now.
Yep.
That's what you do best. I mean, honored in September by PFF as one of the highest rated on special teams. I think you had 10 special teams tackles in four games, including mm-hmm. four in one game.
Yep.
Since you came back from the injury, you've been a dynamo.
Been lighting it up.
You've been ripping guys down left and right.
Yeah, I've been trying. Like I knew, you know, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder. I hate getting injured. Obviously everyone does. No one likes it. But the harder you can, you know, bounce back, and you know, I'm sitting there watching all these games and watching what's happening to the team, and I was like, you know, I need to bring a spark when I come back, and I think hopefully that's what I did.
Special teams, to me, I think special teamers are amazing guys, because your job is to run as fast as you can and crash into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, but that's what you do, right?
Yeah, it's yeah, not a lot of people. Yeah, like when I talk to fans and stuff, yeah, they don't quite like know the nuances or like watch kind of exactly what's happening. But yeah, it's basically for 12 to 16 second play, it's you in a life or death battle against one other guy of who can either, you know, get off the block and make the tackle, or who can not let that guy anywhere near the tackle, stuff like that. And it's where the dogs really, really come out to play.
I it's kind of neat on special teams plays. There's 24 guys in the field, but you only see two, right? The kicker and the returner. That's all anybody sees, right? But you guys are all out there slugging it away. And sadly, you only see other special teamers is when they're still on the ground when the play ends and they mm-hmm. get hurt, which is, I mean, there's so many injuries in special teams play. Like, those collisions are...
They're massive. Yeah. You know, they're massive. I think it helps a lot if you, like, it takes a special kind of off-season prep to really condition and in the weight room and get your body ready for those types of collisions. Because, yeah, you know, running down the field, running like a 4.140, and you're just flying right into a wedge, it's not made for everyone.
That is true. It's hard to watch even sometimes because some of those hits are incredible. If you are watching sometime, don't look at the returner, don't look at the kicker, or rewind and watch the other guys, because it's the thing that gets me to watching an NFL game on a kickoff. Most of them are touchbacks, which mm-hmm. is silly, but after the ball lands and it's a touchback, the guys coming downfield, like, they can't stop, they're going so fast. They're usually like running right through the end zone. I mean, the speed and the collision factor is incredible. So.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful difference in our games. I think I think I would be very sad if the CFL ever switched and made special teams less of an impactful play, kind of like how it is in the NFL with all the fair catches and all that, because some really cool stuff happens, and some of the biggest flips of field position can happen in our special teams. But yeah, they do make for some dangerous collisions and a lot of injuries, so... I don't know what they'll do in the future, but I know it's great right now, and I'm going to keep rolling with it.
Did you get hurt on special teams?
Yeah, which I should have listened to my body a little more. It was getting towards the end of the game. It was a hot game. Things were getting, I was getting, you know, maybe a little dehydrated because he's sweating so much. And, And we had two kickoffs in a row, and I tried to kick it into really high gear because I was, you know, I was a little annoyed. I was pissed, you know, at how the game was going, how I was playing. And once that happens, I think bad things happen. So, yeah, I was kind of running through and just, you know, tore the hamstring a little bit. But I learned from it, you know.
And you're back.
Yeah.
And you're back, which is the main thing. You mentioned Cal a little while ago, Calvin McCarty.
Yep.
A fullback legend, really.
Yeah.
We always see the team over his tenure bring in fullbacks. And we always, is this the guy who's going to take Cal's job? And sooner or later, that guy usually gets released. Like, nope, not this year. It's not happening this year. But the thing about Calvin through all that is these guys are all coming in to take his job, and all he does is put his arm around him and teach him stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about working with him and the relationship you had with him. I guess you just had 1 or 2 years with him? 1 year?
Yeah, I got the he's here in 19.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
So we got the 2 years. Now, being with Cal was amazing. That guy, he brought such a like fun loving like he's like your uncle or your kid brother or older brother type energy, and that's it too. Yeah, whenever I had a question, he would tell me exactly what he was thinking. And I just like he was amazing to watch because it wasn't his, like, you know, he's not always like, say, like killing or you know, physically destroying people, but he knew exactly where to be at the exact time to make the play that he needed to do. And I think that was one of the biggest things I could take from him, is that, yeah, like the right place, right time will make the play. And always enjoy and have fun. That man always enjoyed every practice, every minute of every day, every meeting, always had a great attitude. And I think that's something everyone can bring to this, because especially like whatever's happening in the season, you get to play football. You get to come out and have fun with a great group of guys and play football for a living. And we should always love and enjoy that, because it may never, like, it may end unexpectedly whenever you may not know.
And Calvin kind of found that out too, mm-hmm. right? He wasn't re-signed. I was happy for him, but man, it broke my heart to see him in red on Labor Day.
Yeah, I chatted with him a little about that one. But, I mean, he's a guy that he really wanted to still play football. And he didn't think he was ready to hang him up. And unfortunately, yeah, like it was Calgary that gave the call, but he just wanted to keep playing. Yeah. He wanted another season.
No, I was happy for him, but just kind of worked out kind of weird for everybody.
No,
around
it
here,
was.
Right? All right, so you're a special teamer. You don't get any credit there. And you're a fullback, which you don't get any credit there very often, right? You know, you're blocking for everybody, and you're protecting the quarterback. You're trying to open up some holes. You picked two tough jobs to work at in football. Nobody says thank you to you.
No.
Well, outside of the dressing room, that is.
Yeah, outside of the – and I think it helps – when if you all had a insight to inside the dressing room, because like whether it's the, you know, O-line as well, sometimes a thankless position, but you know, when your block is the one that springs a, you know, a 40 yard rush, you know, Kevin's just flying down the field and you're like, I had a part in that, that is enough. Like when we go look in the film room and we watch it after the game, because you don't want to be on the other side of that where, oh, you think, you know, your job just doesn't matter, and then your guy makes the play, well, you're going to lose the game. So
since the change made on offense in, I guess, late July, right, are you getting more playing time? Because the running game's obviously a little bit more important now. Kevin's been carrying the ball more, and, of course, Trey runs around a lot more than most quarterbacks. Are you getting more offensive snaps now because of that?
I'd say, like, you know, right now it's probably similar. Similar to what it was, because like our game plan is really diverse going into these games, and I think teams, if I'm in the game too much on run plays, teams start to key off that. So JJAG's done an amazing job at like really keeping teams on their toes of like, okay, are they throwing when he's out there? Are they running when he's out there? Are they running when Manny's out there? Like they don't. It's but I'd say it's similar.
9 catches in your career for 93 yards, couple of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
9 catches on 12. Target, so that's mm-hmm. that's a good ratio. 2 touchdowns, though, so you do get some glory.
I guess some love.
Tell me about your first touchdown. What do you remember?
Yeah, so we're in Sask, and who's running? So we've been running the ball down their throats, and we're running it.
This is 21, I believe. Right?
Yeah, we're running it, and we're getting towards the goal line, and you know, all the defense starts playing a little tighter to the box because they're so scared of us running the ball. And I come in on a play where I look like I'm blocking, but then I'm gonna head out to the flat or fly across to the flat. And you know, Taylor pulled the ball on the run because they were all tight to the box, thinking, oh, he's gonna hand it off, and then he pops it right over to me, and no one's around, go right into the end zone. And I just remember making sure I looked at the ref. I was like, was I in? Threw out my arm, smashed the ball. I had all my teammates, because I mean, a lot of them that have been with me a long time, it was like a long time coming. So they were over the moon excited, just as I was. So they all came into the end zone, and we had a nice little, you know, powwow, like how you do.
And you got one, I think it was a Labor Day rematch game,
yep,
right?
Yeah, here versus Calgary. Here.
Absolutely, as I recall, trucked a DB as you're crossing the goal line. Who was that? I don't remember.
I think it was Moxie, yeah. Moxie, and one of their other DBs. I just remember, seeing number two, Moxie, and I was like, wow, because I don't think I'd ever live it down if I didn't run over a DB. So if I get that ball and I get some head of steam, like nothing can stop me, right? And very similar, right from Taylor. He pulled it on a blitz off the edge, saw me, got me the ball, and I got a full head of steam, and can't let anything stop you when you're that close to the goal line. Yeah.
That touchdown, by the way, the one against Calgary, was the one we heard in our opening for Antler Up this week. So go back and have a listen. Now you've heard the description of it. This year's been tough, eh? Last couple of years we know have been tough. I think this year's been a little bit tougher just because of not just the losing, but the way you've lost, right? You know, the 1 yard against Saskatchewan, the 1 point mm-hmm. against Saskatchewan, the blown leads.
Yeah.
We're kind of joking around. We're thinking that the football gods owe you something for Saturday in Winnipeg, maybe for next year, because you've had a lot of heartbreak this year.
Yeah. No, to say it's, you know, try to say it's been an easy year is insane. It has been very difficult. And I think the hard part is knowing what we're capable of, because, you know, whether it's Winnipeg that's walked in here, or Toronto that's walked in here, we've been in these games. And it just seems like a few little errors here or there that can make all the difference in us not pulling out the win. But yeah, I think, you know, a play here or there, and a lot of these games, our record looks a lot different, and, you know, we might be in the playoffs. But we can't, you know, we can't go back and always say what if, because we got to look forward and really hammer on fixing those small errors that do make the difference in what is a, you know, like a Winnipeg, like a great cup contending team and where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And I think we will get there. We just got to keep our nose to the grindstone.
You mentioned it's your contract year, your fifth season, right, this year. I assume you don't want to go anywhere.
I mean, no. Yeah. I mean, I would love it, you know, well, just like Cal was trying to do. Like, if I could spend my entire career being a green and gold, I would love nothing more than that. But it's not up to me. We'll see what happens.
With a team that's had so much turnover mm-hmm. in the last, you know, three or four seasons, like we said before, you and Scott are the only guys who are still here from 2019. I mean, you've had three head coaches, survived all them, and you keep coming back. So you got to think they like you, right? At least. So
I hope so. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, especially, yeah, a guy like Scott and a guy like me, like, we try our darndest to do things the right way and to bring our lunch pail to work every day and keep getting better. And I think coaches would appreciate that and want to keep that around. So I'm not going to change, you know, how I play. I'm going to keep trying to get better. And eventually, you know, we will turn that corner.
You got a few years left still, though, right? Now, you thought about post-football and what you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things, you know, I might be looking at, like, might go into some firefighting, maybe. I know I'm gonna have a lot of fun, you know, getting to be a dad here for a bit, especially while we're playing. But firefighting might be a good option, or, you know, I'm already a SNC coach and run a football program out in Red Deer area, so I might take that to the next level. But I would love probably to, you know, if I could play till, like, you know, 35, you know, as long as I keep physically performing how I think I know I can, then you know, I'll play as long as I can.
I hope it works out for you. Okay, Tanner, these are the last three questions. We call it the red zone. Everybody gets the same questions on Antler Up, so we'll get your answers now. First CFL game you ever saw?
Oh, that I can remember, I think I was pretty young, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, and we were watching, I think it was one of the Labor Day games. It was either the rematch or not between, yeah, Calgary and Edmonton.
You're stuck right in the middle down there in Lacombe, right? Well, I guess you're more north, right? So
yeah, but they've always, like I said, family's always been green and gold, yeah. You know.
So a Labor Day game. All right. Favorite memory in football?
Well, that's what I mean. If you'd asked me before this season, it had always been, you know, my first game walking out here at home in the preseason. But I think taking that win against Ottawa and breaking the streak is probably my favorite memory now.
Right. And last one, biggest name in your phone?
Oh, biggest name? It might be Trey Ford now.
Yeah, that's true.
He's getting pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I read once you were training Carter O'Donnell?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty big. He's an NFL player. That's pretty
big. Yeah, he is pretty big. And, like, you know, I know he's flipped over. He's in Arizona now, but I think they like him. And I think, he's getting more and more opportunities with the team. And he's a hard worker, great kid. And, I mean, secretly, I would love to have him here because I know we have his rights, but
it's a weird situation, right? Because especially for you, because you know him and you've trained him, and, like, I mean, he's an NFL player, right? Yeah. That's top of the mountain, right? Mm-hmm. Geez, he'd look good in our team, wouldn't he?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
I kind of
throw little nudges in there all off season.
Yeah,
you sure you don't want to come play in Edmonton?
I don't know if he wants the pay cut or not. Right?
No, that'd be a nuts pay cut.
Tanner, man, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Great to get to know you, and thanks for the stories.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, that is Antler Up for this week. Go back, check out the archives, and here's some of our other visits with guys like Trey Ford and others who we've talked to this year. For Tanner Green, I'm Morley Scott. Let's whistle our way out here on Antler Up.
Touchdown, Antler Up, Edmonton, touchdown Elks. Taylor Cornelius takes it himself as he got an open lead to the end zone. Antler Up, Edmonton, touchdown Elks.